Hello, welcome to today's ILTA pre-recorded podcast panel entitled APIs, Hype or the Real Deal. I'm your moderator, Jennifer Mendez, Senior Director of Knowledge Management at Fisher Phillips. And I am joined today by the wonderful, amazing Stacey Rushing, Senior Knowledge Management and Data Analytics Counsel at Fisher Phillips. Yes, I am biased. And also the very wonderful Paul Vandermeer from Bilson Sumberg, and he is the CKO there. Paul, want to tell us a little bit more about yourself or your firm?
Sure. As you said, my name is Paul Vandermeer. I'm the Chief Knowledge Officer at Bilson Sumberg in Miami, Florida. We have just over 100 attorneys, and we're all in one office in Miami. I manage a team of six people, which includes two librarians, two application developers, a project manager, and a practice support lawyer. And we're responsible for KM and innovation functions of the firm, such as enterprise search, document automation, enterprise search, the internet, and other tools like practice dashboards and client extranet. And thanks for having me today.
Thank you so much for joining us. Stacey, want to tell us a little bit more about Fisher Phillips?
Yes, we have just under 600 attorneys now, and I think around 40-something-ish offices. We're spread all over the United States and one or two offices in Mexico now. Our KM team is about 12 people, I think, if we include the library team, which is also under the KM umbrella, and we handle all the KM and innovation functions, which is everything that Paul listed, and some other, hey, this came up, we don't know who does this, can you fix it, type issues. So,
exactly. Thank you so much for joining us today as well. We're going to talk, obviously, about APIs. This is a subject that's near and dear to my heart. Paul is actually returning the favor because I was on his panel for ILTACON on APIs. I really enjoy talking about this topic clearly. And I thought this would be a great opportunity to really expand on that conversation that we started at ILTACON and dive a little bit deeper. So I'm gonna go ahead and start with you, Paul. Can you just tell us what use cases you identified and how you've implemented APIs in your organization?
Sure. Two recent use cases come to mind. The first is the Practical Law API from Thomson Reuters. When using enterprise search, we wanted our attorneys to be able to look for internal content at the same time as curated content from Practical Law. So we added a tab on the search interface that allows users to switch between internal results set and then the Practical Law results set. Creating efficiency and allowing them to get what they need with less time and effort. The second example, we wanted to be able to quantify our litigation experience. And in order to do that, we needed to supplement our existing experience records with additional profile information related to judges, jurisdiction, nature of suit, et cetera. There are a few providers out there that do that. We ended up using the Bloomberg API to create a data warehouse and then push that information into our experience management software. But creating a data warehouse also allowed us to use the same data for practice dashboards and other use cases as well.
Awesome. Stacey, you want to talk a little bit about how we're using APIs at FP?
Yeah, so similar to Paul's firm, we have also enhanced our litigation experience data with an API. We're using Thomson Reuters in our experience management database. And from there, we branched out. Now we're also pulling information about all labor and employment litigation nationwide and using it for other purposes, both for individual clients to provide analytics and then also on our public website for things like that. And so we also then branched out into public and government APIs, you know, to create heat maps for our public website, to send notices to our clients and to alert our attorneys when their clients have been sued. And then, you know, another interesting sort of use case is we are using an API from our firm's public website to display curated selection of our news and insights to clients on their extranets.
Awesome. So obviously both using APIs in different ways. Paul, we'll start with you. How did you determine what APIs were appropriate for your organization or for your particular use cases?
Well, I think determining which APIs to use really requires a strategic approach that aligns with the firm's specific needs and technology stack. We evaluated the potential use of APIs based on specific use cases. So we're always looking for ways that we can automate processes whenever possible. And the use of API for this data seemed like an obvious choice for us. In the most recent example, we evaluated three different options for the litigation data based on coverage, data quality, and cost, and made a determination based on that. And you know, in our case, for this particular use case, we actually went with a tool that wasn't quite as mature as the Thomson Reuters data. But for us, because this was our first big sort of use of the API, pulling in the litigation analytics, we didn't want to spend an enormous amount of money on the first step. We really wanted to sort of prove out the proof of concept. And so our choice was made a little bit differently, and maybe chose what wasn't as obvious a choice or as mature a product. But for us, it made sense. And I think you really have to do that analysis and determine, you know, out of the options out there, which one is best for your particular use case and your firm in that instance.
Excellent. So Stacey, you want to talk a little bit about our criteria, how we determined what was appropriate for FP?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to, you know, completely just reiterate what Paul said, but same sort of process now. I will say that happened over time, though. Initially, we took a different approach that did not work. It failed fast. And I can get into the what not to do story at the end if we have time, because there are some lessons learned there. But I do think, you know, one of the great points that Paul hit on was, you know, really outlining what your use case is and what your needs are, and not overwhelm yourself with, hey, let's look at everything out there and just get everything we can. Because, you know, I think anyone who works with data, we tend to have an outlook of give me everything and then I'll decide what I want to do with it. And I think with APIs, you can really get into trouble there. If only with your time and resources of trying to determine what it's actually showing you, and you know, beyond what you needed and what you can do with it, and you know, and then the investment of money, but like I said, also the time and resources. So really defining what it is your use case is that you're trying to solve, and then what you need to do that, you know, rather than going big.
That's perfect. And you both alluded to it. So Stacey, we'll stay with you on this one. How do you justify your firm's investment in API? Obviously, we've got various options available to us, some that we've paid for, some that are available free of charge. But there's still, as you mentioned, a time investment. There's always some sort of investment. How do you justify your firm's investment in APIs?
You know, I think every firm, you have to consider the value of the data that you're getting, and the potential, you know, manual processes it's replacing, and the savings and resources there. But ROI looks different everywhere. And, you know, for some of the use cases we mentioned, like with the marketing based stuff of getting, you know, your experience stuff, it's a lot easier to see maybe the return on investment there. And also notifying the attorneys of potential matters that are coming in. But for other stuff, it is a little bit more difficult. I think that's why we all start with those where it's easier to demonstrate the return on investment. And then once you're in the door, it's kind of easy to just slide some other things in, like, oh, look how great these other APIs were. Let's try some other use cases. So I think it is easier to start with the business development type stuff and then go into even maybe, you know, back of house operations or whatever it may be.
Same question for you, Paul.
Sure. Yeah. In our case, we elected to move forward with an API that was included in our firm-wide subscription. And so the only cost to us really was the development that it took to get the data put in the right place and then get it to the right spot. So we had internal investment in time and resources. And for us, that made the most sense in this case. Although we previously implemented an API in enterprise search, this was the first major API project that fed directly into our experience management software. And that's a really important system for us. And we wanted to be able to prove the ROI on that project without a major investment in dollars and without a long-term contract that sort of kept us into the lane that we had initially planned without any ability to change as the future circumstances dictate. Or as, with every project, as you move forward, things become apparent that you didn't expect, and things that you did expect maybe didn't happen the same way. And so for us, having that flexibility to change was an important piece of that project.
I mean, I think that's great. We're obviously talking about leveraging APIs and all the good that can come from it. And obviously you have some complimentary options or options that are baked into your existing subscriptions, some that you have to pay for as standalone products. But while we think that they are great and we've gotten some great use cases out of them, I can attest to the fact that there can be some challenges that come along with this process. So Stacey, do you want to start the conversation around what challenges we've faced or overcome during the implementation process?
Sure. I think one of the most frustrating, we did have one API that changed the schema entirely without notifying us. So that was fun. And we just had to redo everything. That's the only way to overcome that. So that was a challenge. We had several that didn't include all the data or the filters that we wanted. And some of them were, they had the data there, but it wasn't quite in the way that we needed it. And yeah, we could manipulate it on our end, but we thought, hey, why don't we just ask them first? So we had a few instances where we did go back to the vendor, and say, hey, can you add another field, or can you modify this or allow filtering by this? And, a lot of those did work out very well. But I think the one that was probably the most challenging was we had wanted to provide some very fairly detailed analytics on labor and employment litigation. And, the API that we were using to get, the detailed stuff didn't allow us to filter the calls on the nature of suit code. How do we do it? So we instead used a basic API to pull all new labor and employment cases, because that one allowed filtering on the nature of suit code, and then took those case numbers and court matching and then filtered the detailed one using that. And we just looped through it, every month. So it was a challenge, but we worked it out. We found a way around it.
Paul, any pain points or challenges that you were able to overcome?
Yeah, plenty of them. But that's actually part of the fun and learning of these projects, right? For the PLC, the Practical Law API that we implemented, when we ran the full crawl, it sort of brought down enterprise search for a few days. And so I think, that speaks to the importance of having a dev environment where you can run these things without having to worry about the unanticipated consequences of, adding some data sources, or for enterprise search, having to run, a full crawl. Our users still had the ability to use iManage search during that time. So it wasn't like, we brought the firm to his knees, but that was certainly a learning point for us. And I would never undertake doing something like this again without a dev environment to manage that in. For the Bloomberg project, or the litigation analytics project, the first challenge for us was really making sure that our internal data was accurate. So we had accurate docket numbers, accurate courts in our experience data, because those are really key in order to match up the API data with. And that's a significant lift. I think unless your firm has been very conscientious about making sure that your litigation data is all super accurate and someone's double checking it every time it goes into the, you know, system of record, that is a big lift. So with the Bloomberg data, we spent a lot of time normalizing their data to like you mentioned, so fields like nature of suit, cause of action, the data wasn't super clean and normalized, which, you know, makes for really messy filters and use down the line. So we worked with them to normalize those so that when it came in from the API, those were nice and clean. We also needed to establish a unique identifier for the courts. And in this case, we mapped our courts to the SALI codes and they agreed to map their courts to the SALI codes, which made the mapping process for those really successful, which I think also speaks to the importance of making sure that you have a business partner that is willing to work with you to get through these data issues, because there will be data issues, you know, unless many firms have gone through this process and they've worked with the vendor already to get all these issues solved, which I think is probably not the case yet. It's not super early days, but I think it's still not such a standard thing that you don't have to be aware and concerned about making sure that all the data is normalized, that there's unique identifiers for each piece, because that's really key for trying to take that data that you get from the API and make sure it goes to the right place internally.
I could not agree more. Obviously, communication with your vendors is really important, especially if you're changing the schema on us. Please let us know in advance. And I think Stacy omitted the data cleanup part and the docket cleanup part from her response because she's still dealing with PTSD from that. But obviously, data cleanup, data hygiene, data prep, really important, as you mentioned, Paul, right? Matching all of that information up. So, Paul, we've sort of alluded to some of these things as part of the challenges and, you know, determining what API you're going to pick, et cetera. But what advice would you give to someone looking to leverage APIs in their organizations? Or what are your lessons learned or your tips and tricks for having a successful project?
Sure. Yeah. I would say, you know, start with a clear objective in mind, and involve the people in your firm, involve the attorneys, involve the paralegals, involve the admins, involve the people that are using these systems. Make sure that, you know, you're getting all the information you need from them about what the objective really is and how to go about that. Also, I think I can't stress the importance enough of talking to other firms and finding out what they did, what went wrong for them, what was great for them, what they loved about their solution, how they're using it. You know, ILTA is great for that. And I think I certainly went into these projects with knowledge I wouldn't have had I not talked to other people in other firms. And, you know, super valuable. Also, you know, prepare for a few rounds of optimization. You're probably never going to just connect in the API, turn it on and go, right? You're going to turn it on, you're going to realize what's wrong or what's not working, what needs to work better. And so, you know, plan for multiple rounds of optimization. And related to that, you know, make sure that that's built into your budget, either a resource budget or, you know, timeline of a subscription, because you'll want to add different versions or features as you go along. And then, you know, monitor your usage, get feedback from the people that are using what you've implemented, and use that to improve and tailor the tool even more to make sure that you're meeting the user's needs and the use case that was set out at the beginning.
What I heard there, everyone, is that you can reach out to Paul if you have questions. Yes.
Jennifer. I would say Jennifer.
Always happy to chat APIs. Stacy, any lessons learned, takeaways, advice you would give?
Yeah, I would say, you know, the one I alluded to before is, you know, identify the issue that you're trying to solve and work backwards from there. Initially, we attempted to compare multiple APIs offered by different vendors, and the information they provided while also brainstorming what we could do with it. We didn't have a specific use case at that time. We're just, you know, hey, let's look at all these, you know, APIs that are providing this type of data. And it quickly stalled. Like, it was overwhelming, and we were comparing, you know, the specific data they provided, but if you didn't have a use case for it, it was like, okay, these are different in this way, but which is better? Well, we don't know. One's better for one purpose and one's better for another purpose. And it was just, it got nowhere fast. So I would say, do not do that. And, you know, in addition to talking to people, I always say trust, but verify. So if you have multiple options, reach out to the vendors, get a trial period for them, for each of them, or at least have them run calls, the same calls for you. You can get the data so then you can compare, because I know a lot of times, you know, the vendors would provide lists of the fields that are included, and what they said it was not at all what I thought. Like, they were saying it's one thing, and then I got the data back and I was like, that's not what I expected when you called it this. So being able to compare the actual results from the various APIs, you know, can be very, very helpful and can really help make a decision. And then, you know, I think we've both touched on this, but don't be afraid to provide feedback to the vendors and, you know, ask them for some, I mean, worst they can do is say no, but most of the time we found that they've been willing to work with us and, you know, make adjustments or tell us how we can, you know, tweak things to get what we need. So that's all built into that optimization there, but don't take it all on yourself. Don't think that the firm has to clean it all up on their own. Go back to the vendor and see what they can do.
Completely agree. And that's not just because we have both submitted quite a bit of feedback to vendors on their APIs and what they could do better. It's really important because obviously if it's an issue that we're experiencing, it's likely that their other customers that are using it in similar ways are dealing with those issues as well. So you not only help yourself, but you help others. So I think this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for your time. We encourage you to leverage APIs, identify your use cases, talk to your vendors depending on what you need from them, and don't be afraid to have those conversations. And please let us know how it goes. Thanks to the speakers for joining me today and for their time. I hope those who will be tuning into the view the session later will find great value in this conversation, and have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you.